This is the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneers Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. And now, here is your host, Todd Willis.
Welcome to the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneer Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I am Todd Willis. This segment of the Buccaneer Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. And now joining us, the head coach of the MCA Buccaneers, Coach Bradley Warren.
Hey, guys.
Coach Warren, played a big ball game this past Friday night, a huge win, a big region win, in what we had coined last week in the show as what could have been quite literally a must-win situation, and the Bucs brought it home.
Yeah, it was for sure a must-win situation. I thought our defense really, really stepped up, and, you know, we just got one score, but it was enough to win. The offense finally got us in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you win by 1 point or 101, you know, a win is a win, and it was a big one, and the kids played well. You know, let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Bryan County had been scoring points on people, scoring against, you know, really good teams, and they ran into a really good defense with the Bucs.
They did. Our guys, Todd, were ready to play. Our staff got them, you know, really prepared on defense. And Bryan County runs a scheme that I've seen for a long time, so I knew how we wanted to attack it. And the kids like that. That may be our favorite defense to be in. So it made it for a long night with Bryan County. But they played us well defensively, too. You know, there was a one-score ball game with us winning 7-0.
Yeah, I mean, it's it was two heavyweights duking it out, you know, two evenly matched teams that like to run the ball. Let's, you know, take us further into the defense. I mean, you know, you knew what they were running, but our defense raised it up yet again another level, which is always fun to see week to week.
Yeah, we did. We played, Todd, a scheme. We put five linemen on the line of defensive linemen on the line of scrimmage. We feel like our defensive line is pretty good, and so we didn't want to give you a double team advantage. So we put five guys down, and we shaded half a gap, which meant the linebackers were playing the other half of the shaded gap. So we took away the gaps. We played some man coverage with the corners, and we let Demarion McNear play fast with his read keys so he could get downhill and play a robber technique on the run. And, you know, there was a few times he made some shoestring tackles that would have gone the other way without him.
Yeah, I mean, Demarion is a name that I was going to bring up. I'm glad you went ahead and brought his name up because on both sides of the ball, special teams included senior Demarion McNear, the cheetah, had a big, big ball game.
He did. He does a good job with the run portion and his keys in the secondary. And he seems to like to return the ball. And he's also a decent little offensive player, but he's been a little dinged up. So we've worked on the returns and playing defense.
Yeah. You know, and another senior that I want to talk about some, Coach. And he plays hard every game, and he always has, and always contributes. But I felt like Lorenzo Reed had high impact on both sides of the ball, maybe more than he's ever had.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, Todd, he had five solo tackles on the defense. And then he's just, for whatever reason, wanted to start playing offense. He shown little interest in it this year. And then here recently he is taking a big interest in it. And we got him the ball, and he was the difference maker. I think his touchdown-winning catch was 29 yards, and he also had, Todd, two catches for 23 yards, or two runs, sorry, for 23 yards.
This is the MCA Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
So, yeah, his impact, he's another one you're going to have to account for now that he wants in the game on offense and wants to play as hard as he does defense.
Yeah, his 29-yard touchdown, I think you said 29 yards is correct. He ran hard, caught the ball, and then got a lot of those yards after contact.
He did. He broke a tackle immediately and then went through two tacklers, dragging him in and diving into the end zone for the score. So yeah, that was big.
And he just, and every other time he ran the ball, he ran it hard, and whoever was tackling him took a little bit of that Lorenzo Reed punishment.
Yeah, he's strong. Pound for pound, he may be one of the strongest, maybe the strongest kid in the school, pound for pound. So I was glad to see him have some success. He got the Player of the Week award, too, and got to hold up the Buccaneer belt, which I don't see right now. He may still have it.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal to get that Buccaneer belt. Now, Player of the Week, and I could absolutely see that just as a fan who was there cheering on the Bucs and watching some good football. Lorenzo Reed made a big, big difference. You've mentioned him some on offense at DeMarion, but let's switch to the offensive side of the ball. You know, one touchdown was all we needed due to the defensive effort, but the offense had a big say in how this ball game ended.
Yeah, you know, we've been struggling offensively since week three, and just hadn't quite got a beat on what's going on with it, but we feel like we've gotten better. And we did have some extended drives, Todd, that kept their offense off the field. Two in particular that come to mind. We didn't score, but we kept the ball for over 5 minutes.
Yeah, and controlling the ball, holding the ball, moving the sticks, I think is what it's called, you know, is a big, big deal, especially when you're trying to control the clock as well.
Yeah, I mean, it ended up being a fast game because I think they wanted to control the clock, so they were running the ball through a few passes. We ran the ball through a few passes. So, man, that was a fast ball game.
Yeah, and when you got two running ball teams, as we anticipated in our last show with this particular ball game, and a few penalties, I thought both teams played a fairly clean ball game.
Yes, we did. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we kicked the extra point.
Yes.
Cleanly. So, that was Riley Mitchell. His mom told me at the pregame meal that he was sick, pouting, didn't want to come to the game, want to stay home. But I noticed after he kicked that extra point, he was magically healed. It's amazing what that'll do for you.
Well, you know, and, you know, winning cures all ills, Coach. And, you know, for a lot of people, me included. And Riley Mitchell is only a sophomore. You know, he got the yips there for a bit through the season, but you know, he's obviously worked hard to get through that, and that was one of the best extra point attempts that I've seen.
Yeah, he's not a big guy anyway, and he's young, so he's starting to make some real progress in the weight room, and his leg strength has gone up, so the obviously the ball's flying off his foot better.
Yeah,
I told him one day at practice, I said, either you've gotten stronger in the weight room or you've got some magic shoes on. You can decide.
Well, you know, whichever works. You know, he played well, and like you said, he's only a sophomore. You know, there's only room to grow and continue to get better. And then we've got about 30 seconds left in this segment, Coach. Talk to us about, I think special teams had a play in Friday night's victory as well.
Yeah, one of the big special teams things that happened, Blake McMahon was, they were pressuring our punt really well. And he was punting almost a home run pitch to the return man. We were having trouble keeping our coverage on him. So he hit one time, Todd, down the left side and pinned him on about the 4 yard line, which flipped the field. It was huge.
Yeah, I mean, he was placing the punts almost pinpoint accuracy, which did help with the effort. More to come on the Buccaneer Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
In life and in sports, you need a winning strategy to be successful. Hi, I'm Dr. Denny Carter. At Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, our strategy is to treat orthopedic injuries safely and effectively so you can return to your activities quickly. Find us on the field or in the neighborhood with convenient locations in Brunswick, St. Mary's, and St. Simon's Island. We offer same-day emergency appointments and the resources of Southeast Georgia Health System. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org.
Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick is a proud supporter of local athletics and your official high school football dealership. At Lou Saab Kia, we love Friday Night Lights just like you. Come check out our massive inventory, over 100 in-stock vehicles to choose from, as low as 1.9% APR on new vehicles, and mention you heard us on this coach's show and receive an additional $500 off any new in-stock purchase. Lou Saab Kia at the end of Altama, 912-254-2034, and online at lousaabkiaofbrunswick.com.
Touchdown Fridays are all about big plays, and at Marshland Credit Union, we're here to help you make yours. Cash for your first car or a loan for your forever home, we've got the game plan. Proud to back our hometown teams because winning is better when we all do it together. Marshland Credit Union, local roots, big wins.
Welcome back to the McIntosh County Academy Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Todd Willis. This segment brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic and by Cunningham Jewelers. Well, we've talked about last week's big win. Let's shift gears, Coach Warren, and look forward to this Friday night at the end of this week where the Bucks travel to Medgar, Georgia, where everything is better in Medgar except this coming Friday night when the Bucks roll into town. Talk to us about this game, which is turning into what should be a monster contest.
Yeah, it definitely is a monster contest, Todd. I think it's still a must-win for us. I like controlling our own destiny, not depending on somebody else. So we're just now starting to play good football with some of the younger players that are contributing. We had multiple 9th and 10th graders on the field Friday night in a shutout win over a good opponent, quality opponent. So that part's good. How fast you grow up at sometimes is not something you can control, but it's nice when you get there. But Medgar's down a little bit from what they have been. Their lines of scrimmage are not typical Medgar region championship type lines. They're still good. And they're going to win a lot of games. Their skill positions on offense are scary. I'm worried about us doing well defensively and giving up a long play.
Explosive plays,
yeah. So I'm really worried about their quarterback's a special kid. Their running back, number 22, is a special kid. Number 2, number 7 at receivers are special. So they've got really 4-plus weapons on offense.
So I'm hearing that they've got these skill position players. Do we anticipate, or what does the video show, Coach, in the scout? Will Medgar possibly throw it around more than teams we've just played?
Yes. We're going to see a true spread offense. They threw it, I think, 38 times last
38.
Play, something like that. It was crazy. When you start, they get behind, start taking out the run late in the half, late in the game. They're not afraid to put the ball in there, and they're not afraid to go deep with it. They've got a great screen game. The quarterback buys a lot of time, which concerns me. We've got to get good pressure on him and put him in the pocket and make him sit there if he's running around. Outside of our defensive ends, we're going to be in for a long night.
So, got to make sure we contain him.
Yeah, that's a big order. If we shut that quarterback down, we have a great chance to win that ball game.
Well, you know, and that's obviously one of the goals is to limit the damage that kid can do. He sounds really good. What are we going to see? We'll see the spread on offense. What are we going to see on defense from Medgar?
Medgar runs a modern 3-4 defense. They've got a ginormous nose guard. He doesn't move extremely well, but you're not moving him either. You're not running in that gap. So there's a gap they don't have to worry about. They slant him to kind of make you guess which gap he's going to be in. Then they have a defensive end, number 51. That is as good a ball player as you'll see in our region or some larger classifications. Then the rest of the defense is geared around some younger players, some players that probably didn't see a lot of varsity time last year that are making their way a lot like some of the Bucks are right now. But they do a good job. They're not going to really get out of that 3-4. They run it well. They know all the bells and whistles to it. So we've got to have a plan for it.
Yeah, and I'm sure the plan is being implemented this week in practice as we go through. It sounds like a similar team, but different enough that it's definitely a different type team to prepare for.
They are. They're much different than they have been in the past.
You're listening to the MCA Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach Warren, take us more into Medgar and the importance of this game. We've talked about their offense and defense, how we're going to have to scheme and game plan against some kids and style of play that we've not played as much this year. But the importance of this game cannot be said enough.
Yeah, it's the second time we've really seen a a true spread offense. The first one was against Charlton County. That was a 40-36 shootout where we shut down the run pretty good and gave up some explosive pass plays. So hopefully we've gotten better since then. They're a little different style of spread as well. They're more of a single wing than topping into the spread. But Metter's special teams are, I mean, they're still really solid. We're going to be in a good environment, Todd, there in Metter. There'll be a turf field inside the bricks. It's a nice little venue. And they're going to be tough. They're just not quite what Metter has been. So the implications of this game, I think the winner is a solid. The winner of this game has locked in percentage. Speaking of percentages, probably locked in the fourth seed in the playoffs.
Okay.
There are some scenarios, because there's 2 weeks of football left in the region play, where the winner could go up as high as third, and or the winner could, in some scenarios, be out with only three losses.
That's right.
So, you know, all these ball games are important, but this one's big for tie-breaking purposes.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at that is huge as the Bucks look to play into the playoffs. And just looking at the region records right now, which, as you said, there's lots of football to be played, of course, and you got to play the games. But we don't have the tiebreaker against three of the five teams ahead of us.
Yep.
And Metter is one of those teams that we can take care of our own business Friday night.
Yeah, if we win, the tiebreaker over them in Bryan County.
That's right.
In Claxton right now, that will give us, three opponents that we would have the tiebreaker over. And going into the Savannah High and Portal Week, I would like to think that we could be in the mix for a playoff seed.
Yeah, and, with ECI, Scriven, and Jenkins up there, this game is critical, and it should be, as you said, a fantastic environment. You know, Metter always brings a crowd. It's going to be in front of their home crowd. Any idea if it's their homecoming? Because, you know, we've played a couple homecomings this year, too.
I don't know. It's just the way it works out with that home-away schedule. You just get what you get on your homecomings and senior nights.
That's right. And anything to mention about Metter's special teams? We've talked offense, defense. Anything stand out to you about their kicking game, their return game, any of those?
Well, the returns always scare me on the kickoff returns, and we've got to do a good job of placing the ball. Let's see. I really like their kicker, the kid that kicks off. I think he gets great hang time on the ball, and he can place it about anywhere he wants on the field. So he kind of drops bombs in your grass areas where you don't have a player. So our guys are going. We've worked all week on hustling to get to those balls.
Right, and you've mentioned the hard work of Blake McMahon being able to place that ball on punts. He's become quite the artist with that.
He has, and then Keyshawn Tyson is not a kicker, but we have developed him into a scorching ground ball kick on the kickoffs that gave Bryan County some problems.
Yeah. So, you know, looking forward to all those matchups on Friday night as the Bucks travel to Metter High School. We'll be right back to Buccaneer Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Cunningham Jewelers is a proud supporter of local athletics, and just like you, we enjoy Friday Night Lights. Whether it's natural talent or coaching created talent, they both win games. And whether it's Earth Mine Diamonds or Lab Mine Diamonds, they both look great in her ears or on her finger. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Sports are a little different down here, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com is your go-to for all things Southern sports. The most complete high school football coverage in the state. Braves, Bulldogs, Jags, Falcons, anything SEC and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com is also your home for the Jason Bishop Show, Georgia's most listened to sports show, high school football coaches shows, and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com. Friday Night Lights and sweet tea.
Welcome back to the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneer Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I am Todd Willis. This segment is brought to you by Lou Sod Kia of Brunswick and by Marshland Credit Union. Coach Warren, you know, we're still just deep in the season with football here, and we've talked about, you know, last week, we're talking about this week, we've talked about the importance of the game and the rest of the season, but it is the time of year, you know, the second year we've been in this region, which means that GHSA is looking to make some changes for the upcoming two-year swing, and the Bucks will be affected by that, you know, one way or another, not necessarily good or bad, but there will be changes made. Can you talk to us a little bit about the possibilities for the future region in GHSA?
Yeah, you know, the reclassification committee has met multiple times this year to create a plan for reclassification. And, you know, we're in the smallest class, Todd. So one of the things that's going to happen is we're getting rid of this Division I, Division II single A. So your smaller schools are going back the way we historically have been. We'll be single A. And your next smallest classification will be double A. And we'll go back up to seven. For some reason, we had this mystique of not wanting to have seven classifications. And we do. So there's no real way to fight that. So we'll be single A. So here's the way single A will break down. We'll have the 50 smallest football playing schools will make up the single A classification. However, there are a lot of small schools, probably more than 50, that do not play football. Those will also be in single A, so there'll be a big crowd for some of the smaller sports. Well, one cycle ago, if a team wanted to move up a classification for travel or rival or whatever the reason may be, when they moved up, one team got to move down. Well, these non-football playing schools were moving up and football schools were moving down. So single A this last 2 years has been uber competitive with big regions. You know, we only pick up, two ball games this
year?
That's
right.
So that's a big deal. So that they've said that if a football playing school moves up, a football school can move down. On the other hand, if a non-football playing school goes up into the next classification, then they're not going to drop a football playing school down, which is going to keep the numbers down. And some of these big schools we've been playing, they're twice our size, so we'll have to step into double A.
Okay. And sounds like they're basing this on football playing schools to make sure that playing field stays a little more even.
Yeah, it doesn't matter really what sport you balance it up with. But you have to balance your largest sports so they're not overwhelmed.
Right.
And so, you know, you're looking at a fair mixture of, we do it through football, and I think all states do it through football in their states as to how many schools are in that, to make sure they can play. And then the smaller sports always seem to be easier to make and put in aside the school setting, football being the hardest to make.
That's right. And Coach, how does the GHSA determine the size of schools? I know how many we have, but and we can look up how many other schools have, but how do they determine where to place schools?
They do it by a formula. So you have to create the bottom and the top first. So if that 50 schools is probably going to be somewhere around 11 to 13% of the bottom number.
Okay.
And then you're looking at somewhere around 10, 11% in the top end as well.
This is the MCA Coaches Show with Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
So once you decide where you're going to place your percentage in the top and in the bottom, which all these numbers come off FTE counts in October. So every school turns those in. You see how many kids they're in every high school. So they'll hit those. You'll have an X amount on the top, X amount of schools on the top, X amount on the bottom. Then everybody else is divided up into an equal formula. I don't know if it's like 10%, 12%, 15%, whatever it is. They get placed in those, and it creates a natural break usually for those. And you do that to make sure you're not playing schools that are massively larger than you.
Yeah. And talking about playing schools massively larger or same size or somewhere in between, to my understanding, we will be going back to the PowerPoints system for earning the right to play in state playoffs.
Yeah, I'm excited about the power rankings overall. Everybody's asking me about how I feel about it. I like it. I think it's a good matchup. You know, so many times a fourth seed going to play a one seed is just a slaughter. And I'm of the opinion if your regions are too small, a team with 2, 3, 4 wins probably shouldn't be in the playoffs. whether that's our team or somebody else's team. So I like the fact that you can be seeded based on your ranking formula. I like that part of it. I think that's going to create some great matchups, some really fair matchups early. So that part's fun. The part I think we've missed the boat on a little bit is the log jam that this issue I'm about to discuss is going to create. You do not get any points any longer for playing bigger schools.
Oh, you don't?
No, so the days of us going to play Brunswick or Glenn or somebody like that, and we get the points boosted up because we played a much larger school, we don't get those anymore. So you're going to want to schedule primarily within your own classification for the power ranking points.
So you only get power ranking points for playing single A. I mean, if MCA single A, is that true?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you played another team out of classification, you're going to get points for the win, but you're not going to get all the other points for their wins and things like that you would see in single A.
So it's they've cleaned this up quite a bit.
Yeah, but I think it's going to create a problem with scheduling. I think there's going to be some schools in every classification that say, I don't have anybody to play. How can I get a game? You'll say, well, you go schedule this opponent. Well, that's not really fair. If nobody will play you and you can't get the points.
That's true.
So that's going to be an issue. I think that they're going. I think they'll have to address it this year. I think it's going to create such a logjam, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. What's the timeline for this? I know FTE has just been full-time equivalency. Sports fans is, if you're not familiar, is the number of kids in your school, and is a big formula, mathematical formula that the state uses to then give you money to hire teachers and to run school. But they use those numbers and attendance numbers to make sure that schools are divided by sport, in sports at GHSA. And what's the timeline on that, Coach?
Well, a lot of us are hearing now, you asked me that question yesterday, so I looked into it a little bit. A lot of us are hearing we're going to know what classification we are in by the end of this month, which I think is
fast. That's fast.
If they get that done, I'll be amazed. I don't think I've seen it that quick. So the process, once you do the formulas like we've talked about and get everybody into a classification, there'll be 7 days for appeals where you can appeal to go up or down in a classification. So you've got 7 days to do that, and you've got to have some valid reasons for travel, or maybe a number was incorrect on your FTE or whatever.
Okay. Sounds great, Coach, and lots of excitement to come still and moving forward with the Bucks. Thanks for joining us for the McIntosh County Academy Coaches Show with Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Todd Willis, signing off.
Go Bucks.
We are one Buck.